tuned into Black Hollywood Live, the world's first digital broadcast network devoted entirely to urban entertainment and pop culture. Tune in right now.
Hey, 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 everybody. I have a special guest with me in the house today. But if this is your first time here, this is The Curvy Critic with Carla Renata at Black Hollywood Live. Give me a thumbs up to let me know you were here. And we're going to get ahead and get this party started with my boy, Deion Taylor. What's up, bro?
What's going on? How you doing?
I'm good. So we were talking right before we went on the air about this pandemic, this COVID-19, this coronavirus situation. Yeah. How are you holding up? And where are you exactly?
I'm doing great. I'm at home.
I mean, where at home? Like what city?
I live in Granite Bay, so I'm up near, like, a little bit past Sacramento, but closer to Tahoe. So I'm in a really good place right now. It's not a, we don't have a lot of the COVID down here. It's pretty chill, man. So, but I'm not going out till they figure this out.
I understand. It was like, I was telling Deion, y'all, right before we went live, I was like, I'm not trying to play those reindeer games when it comes to the coronavirus. I'm really not. I am not about the reindeer game, not by any stretch of the imagination. Deion and I have run into each other quite often at various award shows. I'm really good friends with one of your partners, Sean Edwards.
Yes.
And I really wanted to have you here today to talk about the industry has been so grossly affected by the pandemic. Hollywood is completely shut down. And it's one thing for the studios to shut down, like the big studios, like the Warner Brothers and the Sonys and the Paramounts and the Disneys and the Foxes and all that. But when it comes to independent film, how is it affecting folks like yourself with your projects that are supposed to come out?
Well, you know what, man? We've been really, really, I mean, seriously blessed. We had one movie that was coming out June 19th, Fatale, which stars Hilary Swank and Michael Ealy. And I tell you, when all this happened, I kept getting closer and closer. I'm like, oh my God, what's going to happen? Because I started seeing a lot of the films that studios had, they were either selling them to Netflix or, you know, not giving them a release date. And we were extremely blessed. Our movie got moved to October 30th. So we're coming out worldwide Halloween. You know, the idea behind that is, you know, God willing, the country is back in line and people are actually going to the theater again around, you know, 4 or 5 months from now. So that was really, really cool for us. The only, you know, hit that we had was Meet the Blacks 2. We were actually getting ready to get that one put out. And now we're just trying to figure out, like, what's the best strategy for that film. You know, obviously I'm looking for a worldwide release for it. So I think we're very close to having an update on that and what we're going to do. But, you know, the pandemic has hit everyone in a tremendous way. I mean, obviously, the Hollywood industry and, you know, just people in the world in general. But for independent film, what I think is really a blessing right now is, you know, if you're a real indie maker, filmmaker right now, like, this is the time for you to get busy. You know what I mean? To me, the big dogs, they can't really move. Everyone's trying to figure out, how do you shoot a movie during this time? And I feel like this is where your scrappiness and your independent mindset, this is where you should rise to the occasion. This is your game. So for me, you know, myself, Sean, Roxanne, our entire team, like, we've been like, yo, we got an idea that we're going to put together in the next couple of days here. And we might actually be shooting something in the next 30 days, just based on the fact that we understand how to move. We know how to, you know, test everyone, get into a small box, you know what I mean, and actually do something efficiently during this time. Uh-oh, I lost you.
That's me. That was me.
Okay.
That was me.
Okay.
That's encouraging. You might hear a plane. I live right by the airport and it is hella loud. It sounds like the plane is about to land on my house. I feel like I'm in the Wizard of Oz and the Wicked Witch is about to land on my head. I'm sorry, I just had to say that. Because that was hella loud.
Oh, it's okay. Do what you, hey man, look, my son might run in here. So we both got distractions. It's all right.
Like, what is happening? But what I was saying is that is really encouraging. And you're right. This is the perfect time for people to get stuff off and popping. But I have to say, you know, everybody's doing all these Zoom interviews, Zoom happy hours, Zoom hangouts, Zoom chats. Are you experiencing any Zoom fatigue right now?
Yeah, you know what? The first couple of weeks I was kind of like not interested. And then I'm like, you know, like everybody else, I'm like, all right, well, I guess I'll go in and tap into the Zoom. And I mean, it has been Zoom nuts. I'm like, I'm tired of Zoom. I'm like, man, I'm tired. Like, I just want to, as a matter of fact, the last couple phone calls, I've been like, hey, I'm going to just call you. Like, I don't want to sit there and look at you and do all that normally, you know what I mean? But it's okay, man. People are missing people and want to have the contact of what they normally had. You know, for me, it hasn't been that difficult. I'm really a homebody. I don't mind being at the house. I don't mind getting on the phone. Obviously, we don't live in LA. So a lot of my work is either I'm flying there for a couple of days or I'm on the phone anyway. So, you know, this is kind of fit our MO very well.
You are hilarious. I had to talk to you face to face though, because you make me laugh. And I just had to see your face while we were talking, because I know I just needed to see that laughter. I just needed to see the sparkle going on.
But I'm here.
You always ever present, and I appreciate and love you for it. Now I know, speaking of that, I know a couple of weeks, I think it was a couple of weeks ago, you had reached out to some film critics. A couple of film critics, because you have a love affair with us.
Yes, I do.
In terms of us supporting your work, and we're big supporters of your work over here at Black Hollywood Live and over at our sister networks, Popcorn Talk and AfterBuzz TV. And I just want you to share, because I thought this was hella cool that you did this. And I think you were trying to get in touch with me, and I thought your boy had shenanigans, so I wasn't going for it.
Oh man, yeah, we were desperately trying to find you.
I thought it was shenanigans. So just share with the people what you did to show your love to the body of film critics out there that have been supporting you throughout your indie career.
Yeah, so basically, okay, we might get photobombed. My son just came here. So
that's all right, he can come
so,
in.
Yeah, so basically what I did was I've always just loved the energy and the light that people like yourself share with me, you know what I mean? And because I am an independent filmmaker, myself and Roxanne, we really pride ourselves on, you know, going back to the roots of the people that supported us when we didn't have anything. And it's people like yourself, it's people like Popcorn Talk, you know, it's people like Sean Edwards and others that have really, really just been there. I mean, when we were making, you know, we're still making under $5 million movies, people just get to see them now. You guys were the ones that actually wrote a small article for me or took the time to interview me when no one else really cared. And so over this time, as we've been growing as filmmakers, obviously we had a monster year with 2019, but releasing two feature films in the same year. Like, I think it's only been three directors to do that, Black and Blue and The Intruder. You know, we wanted to do something during this time, and I know everyone's having a hard time in terms of money, finances, all that good stuff. So I basically picked up the phone. We called around 75 to 100. We might've called almost 100 Black film critics like yourself. And basically just called to say, we love you. Called to say, you know, thank you for your time. And we basically gave everybody a gift. And that gift was some money. You know what I mean? And then I basically just hung up the phone. And the reason that I did that was because I wanted them to know we appreciate them and we care about them. And we're always the first to get the stick, you know what I mean? So during this time, you know, it's not a lot of us on, you know, television. It's not a lot of us who could get to the, you know, the big podium. So all of those people that write for places like BLH and, you know, Popcorn Talk and, you know, all the Black film, all those little small things that we like really depend on. I'm like, man, I want to make sure y'all know I care and we support you 100% even during these times. And that was one of the most touchy moments for me, because I didn't really expect the response I got. But when you really get on the phone and you see people cry, or you see people that told you that they, you know, just tested positive for COVID, or their mom just died from COVID, or damn, man, I didn't know how I was going to pay my light bill. You know what I mean? Like, when you start hearing that, then you go like, man, like, it's, you know, it's a bigger story than just entertainment or calling people and asking them for something because you need it. Sometimes you just want to reach out on general GP and just make sure everybody good that's working with you. You know what I mean?
I do know what you mean. It's a scary time. I feel like I need to wrap my mama in bubble wrap. I'm in quarantine with my mom, And, you know, my mother's in her 80s. So I try to limit how often I go out and how often I have interaction with people, because I don't want to bring anything in the house that might possibly, you know, be transferred inadvertently to my mom or to me. I'm very vigilant about that. But I wanted to ask you about that story, and I wanted you to share it because I feel like it was important for you to share. It's important for people to know that, you know, what you said, it's important that filmmakers like yourself don't just reach out when you want an interview or you want somebody to cover a story about your project. You know, we're all human beings and we're all in this together. So that was very thoughtful, very kind, and I can't even find enough adjectives for what I would feel that needs to be described as. But I did want to say thank you for doing that. It is much appreciated. And and I'm sure I'm not the only one. I feel like I speak for everybody when I say that and tell that to you.
Thank you for that. I appreciate that. And like I said, you know, I really care about you. You know what I mean? And you're right. We see each other at these award shows and, you know, but we never realize, man, how quick life can stop. You know what I mean? I think that's something that I really carry on my shoulders all the time, man, is the fact that, you know, when you come from a very real place, you understand a lot of this stuff is not real. You know what I mean? And too many times, too many of us get caught up in the not real part of it. You know what I mean? Where you're like, yes. Oh yeah, this is real. Like, this is real life. Like, no, this ain't real life, man. We blessed to be able to write something on paper and bring it to life through a camera. You know what I mean? We're blessed to be able to go to award shows and see people get awards or you get an award. Like, this is all an honor and a blessing. But when real life hits, it makes you really believe and understand, like, there's something greater than you and something you should be doing greater than yourself. You know what I mean? So I'm just blessed to know you, and I'm just happy to be here, you know, as a filmmaker.
Absolutely. How do you think we're going to come out on the other side of this? How do you think the industry is going to shift and change? I know that there was an article in Deadline in the Hollywood Reporter about how they're shifting in terms of junkets and red carpets and that type of thing is concerned. How do you think it's going to, because I know some people, we were talking about Zoom earlier, some celebrities and filmmakers are like, yeah, I get to do this from home. I ain't got to get on no plane and go stay in no hotel and talk to 5,000 people with them, ask me the same question over and over and over again. I'm good. I can stay at home and do that. And there are some people that really crave that, they feel like the human interaction is missing and they want to be able to hug a journalist or laugh and keep you with a journalist. Well, how do you think we're going to come out on the other side of that?
I think it'll be a little bit of both. You know, I think this is cool right now. I think because of what's going on, obviously technology has played a major role in us being able to do this. You know what I mean? I mean, my daughter, you know, like, she hasn't seen her friends in 2 months, you know what I mean? But because of technology, they're able to do all this wonderful stuff and really be connected. I think that there will be some after effects of Zoom and after effects of people, you know, doing whatever process they can do to not be at different places for a little while. But there's nothing like the human experience. There's nothing about being in the same room and having a real conversation with somebody and looking someone in their eyes and physically giving them a hug or touching them or shaking their hand. There's nothing that's compatible to that. And I think what eventually happens is, I think this will end up being a way for a lot of people to save a lot of money. You know what I mean? Like, I think we're going to call it what it is. It's going to be
the struggle
a lot.
Is oh, real. Yeah, look, gonna the struggle be like, oh, is real, even on my part, because the amount of money I'm saving on gas and not driving all over LA, like, the struggle is real, for real.
Yeah, but I mean, if you're a giant studio and you normally fly hundreds, 200, 300 critics to some event, now you're like, oh, we can't do it. We got to do it this way. It's like, all right, but the pizzazz is lost. Do you know what I mean? Like it's got mixed up in the sauce. So my idea would be they would do this for a while, but I believe slowly but surely the all American way will come back, which is getting in front of people and really talking and really letting people feel your passion and your energy. Because there's nothing weirder than if you're doing a press junket and all you're doing is sitting there talking to people and swiping the screen. I mean, it's processed. You know what I mean? You don't want processed meat. You want that meat off the grill.
No, that's right. Let's get to the barbecue, baby.
You want some hot dogs?
I was wondering when Deion Taylor was gonna show up. Now you was being Deion Taylor, the filmmaker, for a second.
You want, like, you want that chicken? You want that chicken off the grill, don't you?
Ooh, I'm mad at you. Oh my God, that was pure comedy. I love you for that. Ooh, I love you for that. What you binging right now?
You know what? It's funny. I wasn't watching anything. I haven't been watching nothing. I've been watching.
Was you out? Was you grilling on the barbecue?
No, I just been kind of chilling and watching the news. And obviously, the biggest thing I've been watching has been The Last Dance with Michael Jordan, the whole Bulls. I mean, I think that's phenomenal, man. It has really kept me every week for the last 5 weeks. This week is the last week. But every week, I've been like, man, I can't wait to Sunday. That's been brilliant. Brilliantly done. So much stuff you never know. You know, I'm from Chicago. So growing up with Mike, you know, seeing all this stuff, I'm like, damn, I remember how the 90s was. It's just, I've been watching that. Most recently, I was turned on to this show on Netflix, Hollywood. And I hadn't seen that. I didn't know nothing about it. And somebody was like, yo, you should really watch this. And I'm like on episode 5 and it's really good. Like, I mean, I was surprised how good it was in terms of the themes. I thought the themes were really, like, very well done, how everything is coming together and, you know, it's following the story, I believe, of Rock Hudson. And that's been really, really good. But I've been really just kind of chilling and watching a lot of making of. Like, last night I watched the making of Gladiator. A couple nights ago I watched the making of 48 Hours. I've just been kind of zoned out trying to figure out when this is over, how I could be a better filmmaker and how I could do things better to push my craft forward and be a Look dad to this screaming child back here.
That's all right. She's living. Is that a she or a he?
That's a he. His name is Aiden and he's dressed as Batman.
Aiden is over there living his life. Have him come on in the screen. Where he at? He's screaming because he wanna get in front of the screen.
Aiden
don't he?
To come here. Yeah.
Have him pop on in and say hello. We got to see Batman.
We might not get rid of him. We come over.
That's all right, because I'm gonna let you go after we see Aiden, so that Aiden can have you to himself. Because you know, okay. I know they act out when they want you all to themselves. It's all good.
Let me see what he's doing.
All good.
He said no.
Oh, he said no. He's doing something.
He said no. Right. He being camera shy now.
Yeah. But yeah, I would say this though in closing with you. You know, during this time, it's been a really, really real moment in time for all of us. You know what I mean? And the one thing I will leave, you know, the viewers with and us with is I believe this has really been a moment of judgment. You know what I mean? This is a very, very interesting time. Some people have looked at the moment and twerked their way through the last 60 days. You know what I mean? Some people have really taken the time.
Twerk.
They have. I mean, I'm telling you, people twerking on Instagram Live. I'm like, damn, that's all. And some people have basically took the time to really understand this is a real moment in time where for the first time in history, time has actually stopped. Do you know what I mean?
We are living in a sci-fi movie. We really
are. You are. But at the same time, it is judgment, man. So I think this moment for everybody out there should really take the rest of this time that you have off to figure out what have you done with your life and what are you going to do with your life when this is over? You know what I mean? Because this will happen again in another way. And your job right now is to figure out, man, when everything stops, what did you build? What did you do for your family? You know what I mean? Did you take care of business? Was everything aligned? Was everything put together? You know what I mean? Was the bills paid? Was the house paid off? Like, this is a good moment for you to really hit the reset button and figure out, you know, what you need to do the next time. So when you playing musical chairs and the music stops, you got a chair, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does make sense. I'm gonna need people to stop dancing around the golden calf and take care of business. They need to stop dancing around the golden calf and take care of business.
That's right.
That's all I'm saying. Look, brother, I'm gonna let you go so that you can play with Batman, aka Aiden, and spend the rest of the Sunday.
Yes. And don't forget, Fatale, man. Fatale,
October 30th, man. Right?
October 30th, Michael Ealy, Hilary Swank. We got Tyron Turner from Menace. We got Mike Coulter, who's killing it. Damaris Lewis. I mean, it's Lance Stevenson, the basketball. I mean, it's an incredible film, man. And obviously I'm gonna be really going hard for that film because I really would love for Dante Spinotti, my cinematographer who did Insider, Last of the Mohicans, Heat. I'm trying to get this man back to the Oscars. He's been nominated 3 times, man. We need him to get nominated for this one, man. So I'm gonna need everybody to support us on this run.
Well, you know we're gonna support you over here at Black Hollywood Live.
Yes, yes.
Networks. So yes. Thank you so much, Dion, for popping in and saying hello and talking to us about the pandemic, talking to us about the barbecue sauce. Talking to
yes. Us you want that? You don't want that processed meat. You want that grilled meat.
Talking about Faytown and talking yes. about Meet the Blacks. And I want to get you back when Meet the Blacks gets off and popping. We'll have you back for that.
Definitely,
and
man.
Faytown,
first time,
too. We'll have
yeah,
you back for
yeah,
Faytown.
You got to see that one. First time we ever seen Mike Epps and Cat Williams as lead in a movie, man. They're brilliant. Brilliant,
ooh, I
brilliant,
can't wait.
Brilliant. I can't wait. Yes. So thank you so much. Be safe, okay?
You too, my brother. I'll see you later. Bye-bye.
All right, thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Listen, y'all. It has been a pleasure to talk to my boy. I love Deion Taylor because he's funny. He was being all serious at first. And I was like, where the real Deion Taylor at? Where he at? Where he at? I'm like, uh-oh, he done showed up. He done showed up now. It's all good. It's all good in the hood. And I could get with that. I could totally get with that. But let me just talk to you about some things that I'm going to go through this week. So I saw a lot of really great projects this week in addition to Scooby-Doo, which we're going to talk about in a minute, but I saw this series. It's a series that's on Hulu called The Great, and it's about Catherine the Great and Peter the Great, and it is pure comedy. Pure comedy. It stars Elle Fanning. She is pure comedy, but it is, I know y'all have heard me talk about my love of period pieces. I love, love, love a period piece, and so I was all about checking out The Great. But The Great started streaming on Hulu on March 15th. I highly, highly, highly suggest that you guys check that out. Now, the other thing that I wanted to talk about that I was so incredibly excited about is that my boy Scooby-Doo is back. I remember as a little kid on Saturday morning, I had those shenanigans with that cereal, watching Scooby-Doo and Shaggy and Daphne and the gang, you know, solve those mysteries with the mystery machine. I was all about it. So needless to say, I was all about it when Scooby-Doo came to the big screen in your living room on May 15th. So they did a big party. It was all everywhere. They had a watch party before. They had a watch party during. They had a watch party. They had an after party. They tried to make it as close to the real experience as possible. And I had an opportunity to sit down with Kiersey Clemons, who plays fighter pilot Dee Dee, Jason Isaacs, who plays the delicious Dick Dastardly, and Will Forte, who plays Shaggy. I put a little compilation of the interview together for you, and you can find the full interviews over at my site, The Curvy. filmcritic.com. But until then, here's a little sneak peek of what we talked about in quarantine. Everybody has some things that they have been meaning to do, but they put it off. And I know that you have children, so it's a little bit more difficult, but do you have anything that you have been putting off for months that you were finally able to take care of?
Well, I've been learning Italian. I've learned to play the piano. I'm baking quite a lot of bread. I've redone the back garden, painted the wall. I can juggle now 5 flaming hamsters. I've done none of these things. Nothing. I've achieved nothing.
I kind of believed nothing. You when you said the baking bread part. Jesus, I was like, ooh, nothing. That's impressive. No. What is the first thing you're going to do when we let this quarantine thing lift?
Oh, I have so many things I want to do. I can't wait to just like hug my friends and my family again. I saw my mom from a distance. We sat in her yard on Mother's Day, and I so badly just wanted to hug her when I left and when I got there. So I'm really looking forward to hugging people that I love.
Opinion. What's the favorite thing you're binging since you just got Netflix?
Oh, man, that Michael Jordan documentary series.
The Last Dance.
So great. I still have Sundays to watch. I got busy trying to write this MacGruber stuff. We're trying to write a MacGruber TV series, and so I got busy doing that. So I have two waiting for me, which I'm really excited about.
Cool.
What I'm watching, is there anything else that's on that you've been liking? Oh, you know what we just watched? We watched, is it just called Hollywood?
Yes.
That was really good.
It's fantabulous.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that.
Cool. Well, that's my time, my brother. Thank you so much for taking time to talk to me, and good luck with this, with the film when it hits on Friday. I'm looking forward to it. I've seen it a zillion times already, and you did a fabulous job. But thank you again.
Thank you. Nice talking to you.
Hey, so that was just a little sneak peek. Now, I had thrown little snippets of it here and there up online, but that is just a little sneak peek, a different sneak peek of the full interview, again, that you can find over at my site, thecurvyfilmcritic.com. There is a there's a documentary coming out called The Painter and the Thief. I saw this, and I'll have an interview with this person that will be up next week. And I'll also have an interview with Janelle Monáe from season 2 of Homecoming. Yay! But this particular documentary is called The Painter and the Thief. It'll be on Neon on May 22nd. It's directed by Benjamin Ree. And I had an opportunity to speak with Benjamin Ree, one of the painter, Barbara, I can't pronounce her last name, it's Czech, and I don't want to butcher it. And Carl, what is Carl's last name? Carl Benzel, I think is his last name. But I'll just say Carl for right now. I spoke with them about this documentary. So basically what happened is Barbara had these paintings that was up in a museum in Oslo, the Nobel Gallery in Oslo. And two of her most famous paintings that are worth about 20,000 euro were stolen. And she was heartbroken. The thieves were apprehended. She went to court, she spoke to one of the thieves and decided that she wanted to talk to him. Now, I don't know about you, but I truly wouldn't be trying to talk to somebody that stole something with me, especially if they looked menacing. But she went and she talked to them. It ended up with her painting his portrait, and they ended up becoming really good friends. I think they became really good friends because they saw something in each other that made them stronger as a unit. And they're not together, but they're extremely good friends. It's a very complex story. When you watch it, it looks like you're watching a documentary of a movie, but this is something that really, really happened. They recovered one of the paintings, the other one they still don't know where it is, but it is a fascinating story. And not for nothing, but Barbara's work, her paintings are the types of paintings that when you look at it, it looks like a photograph. It's that detailed and that intricate and that beautiful. And kudos to Benjamin Reeves for doing some rapid fire photography to let us see in real time really quickly how she went about putting these paintings on canvas. It was gorgeous. It's a gorgeous story, and it was very inspiring. And the biggest thing you'll take away from it is that in these days that we're living right now with a pandemic and, you know, fights breaking out because people are not at themselves, forgiveness is a really huge quality to possess. This is a woman who had something stolen from her that meant so much to her, and she was able to find some forgiveness in her heart. And we could all stand to be reminded of that lesson. So it's called The Painter and the Thief. It'll be on Neon on May 22nd. Another documentary that I saw, well, not documentary, but another film that I saw was called The Lovebirds. And it stars my girl Issa Rae and Kumail Nanjiani. And they play this couple that when they first meet, everything's all, you know, sunshine, rainbows, and lollipops. They're literally lovebirds. And then they end up getting caught up in like this murder mystery, which is pure comedy. But what it does is it shows you the evolution of a relationship when it's all sunshine, rainbows, and lollipops in the beginning. And then it gets a little tricky and you're not kind of sure whether or not you want to be with this person. And then you're in danger with this person. And then you're like, you know what? They're actually not that bad. So check it out. It'll be on Netflix this week. And the other thing that I watched was another documentary called On the Record. Now, this particular documentary, everybody was talking about it at Sundance. Everybody was like, oh my God, you have to see this documentary. It's called On the Record. And the thing about it is it'll be on HBO Max on May 22nd. And the thing about On the Record is that it's directed by Amy Ziering and Kirby Dick, and it's centered around this young woman named Drew Dixon, who worked for Russell Simmons and L.A. Reid, and she was sexually harassed in the vein of, you know, what happened with some of the people that came forward regarding Harvey Weinstein and Bill Cosby. She was sexually harassed, and she decided to come forward with her story in the New York Times. So this whole documentary chronicles her rise in the record industry and then what happens right up until the point that she was harassed and started to experience some issues in the industry moving forward. She ended up leaving, her marriage suffered, all kinds of things went down. But it's I watched it and I was sick to my stomach. It made me ill because I've said this numerous times. I have been that person that's been sexually harassed early on in my career when I worked in the music industry, and it was not fun. And it was hard to speak out because you knew nobody would believe you, because these men that were predatory were very powerful and everybody would believe them. Who's going to believe the little young, naive, you know, record industry publicist? Nobody's going to believe them. So, you know, I'm kind of half and half with that one, but I feel like everybody should watch it and just look at the facts and make up your mind based on the facts, because I hate to be that person, and I've said numerous times, the one that jumps to a conclusion about a situation without knowing all the facts. So again, just to recap, Scoob is streaming right now. It started streaming on May 15th. The Great is streaming on Hulu. On the Record will be streaming on HBO Max on May 22nd. And The Painter and the Thief is streaming this week as well on Neon. Let me find that date for you real quick so I don't get that wrong. The Painter and the Thief is streaming May 22nd. I will also be talking to Michelle Phillips from the Mamas and the Papas about another documentary series that's coming on called Laurel Canyon. I have an interview with Janelle Monáe. I have the interview with the painter and the thief and the director, Benjamin Reeves. And I'm also going to have in studio live, large and in charge, DJ Shangela Pierce. DJ has a show that is on HBO called We're Here, where they go, her and two other drag queens go into these small towns and they make people up into drag queens and they do a show, and it's absolutely fantabulous. So I'm going to get up on out of here. This was fast and furious today. I did a little abridged version, but of course you can always catch the full versions of all of my interviews over at thecurvyfilmcritic.com. You can catch me right after this over at AfterBuzz TV doing the General Hospital After Show. And on Mondays, you can catch me right back over at AfterBuzz TV doing the After Show for Insecure. So until the next time, give me a big old thumbs up to let me know you were here. If you want to see me do something else, if there's a film that you want me to review that I haven't talked about, let me know in the comment section and I'll be more than happy to get to it. But until then, love, peace, and hair grease. Until the next time, deuces, y'all.
On behalf of our BHL staff, we would like to thank you for tuning in to Black Hollywood Live, the world's first digital broadcast network devoted entirely to urban entertainment and pop culture. Check out our Black Hollywood Live YouTube page for even more great programming and amazing content. And be sure to subscribe and like our channel when you do. I'm your BHL host, Nakia Monáe, and you can find me on all social media at Kiki Boom Boom or at Black Hollywood Live. Black Hollywood Live, Hollywood redefined.